Good morning. You have already had the opportunity to enjoy some of the wonderful music here this morning. A few more words about that in just a second. First, a word of welcome. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time or you've been here your whole life, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. This Sunday is what we call a Fusion Sunday. It is an intergenerational worship experience, so we try to be inclusive of all persons wherever they are on the age or faith journey spectrum. So please be mindful of the people who are sitting next to you, especially if you have young worshipers with you this morning. Make sure they have their own bulletin and hymnal and have a chance to fully participate in this morning's worship. As you have heard, we have some guest musicians who will be playing jazz in worship this morning. We'd like to thank Mike Van Allen on the piano, Laura Simonelli on the bass, and Chris Ramston on the drums, and of course, our own Roy on the trumpet. So a good morning and a thank you for being here today. We will be focusing with our music, also our liturgy and the sermon, on celebrating Black History Month. So you'll see right there at the top a note about where the liturgy and the sermon will be drawing from today. A few other announcements we have. This Wednesday, in case you missed it, between the 70 degrees and the snow, yes, Ash Wednesday has not happened yet, but it will this week. Two experiences for you to be a part of. First, we are still looking for some food prep and service folks for the Bridge House meal that will be taking place. More information on the kiosk, and we assure you, you will be back in time for worship, and that'll take place here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. A note, in case you are not on Facebook, the Jamaica team has made it back home safely, even despite the wind and a bit of a bumpy landing, I am going to guess. But they will be here. I just saw one of them sneak in. Nice job, Beth. But they will be leading worship next Sunday. You won't want to miss that. The mission team will lead worship, and then there'll be a second hour to follow for more behind-the-scenes stories. All right, another announcement this morning, Barb.
Good morning. My name is Barb Chapman, and I'm standing here this morning representing the Mustard Seed Scholarship Program. Seven individuals who are congregants of the church are following the dream of Frank Roberts, a longtime member of our church and youth group leader, as we look to our youth and help assist them with their expenses they have in post-high school study. This process, I announced this morning, is about to begin, and we will conclude with all the activities by May. But just be aware that it is going on now and is available to any senior who is active in the youth group program here. So know that that is going on for the next several months. Thank you.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God.
Thank you. please stand for the call to worship. We hear your challenge, O God, and your call. Mighty One, we know you are a lover of justice and call us to stand with those doing your work in this world. Move our feet to stand with workers who feel marginalized and ignored, those who remove our garbage, pick our fruit, and prepare our fast food. Illuminate us so that we may see your coming in the world. Come, says the Lord, come to the holy mountain.
In 1968, Reverend Dr. King said the world is messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. God of the mountaintop. We are grappling with problems that people have grappled with throughout history. For years, we've talked about war and peace, the choice between violence and nonviolence. We've ignored the real choice, which is nonviolence or non-existence. This is where we still are today. In our rush to get up the mountain, we've ignored the poverty, long years of hurt and neglect in the African American community. Move us, mighty God, into the difficult days ahead with visions of your glory. Nothing stops your love, forgiveness, and grace from getting through into this world. The fire hoses don't stop it. The dogs don't stop it. The mace don't stop it. Death don't stop it. Jesus lives, and so do we.
And why don't we actually have the children come back here to where the jazz musicians are. Good morning. So come on over, have a seat. So what instruments do you see here today that we usually don't have in church? Yes. Yes, the upright bass, which is really big, isn't it? And we have a drum set as well. So I'm just curious, how many of you read a little bit of music from piano lessons or chorus or something? Yeah. So you know about, like, looking at the notes and you know, your voice follows or your instrument follows what's written on the page. But the special thing about jazz is that it's improvised. So we make it up as we go along. Although that's not entirely true, and that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. So, we're going to play a little bit of this piece of music. It's called St. Thomas. And you can see there are some notes there, and there are some funny chord symbols there, and there are some words. And by looking at this piece of music, Chris, our drummer, knows to do this. It says calypso. So instead of doing a swing beat or a bossa beat, he'll do something like this. And Laura, her part isn't written down at all, but she just sees some letters, and she'll know to play this from that piece of music. And then our pianist, Mike, he's going to fill in the chords. Again, he's not looking at any music. He sees some chord symbols, and then he knows to play this. And then I've got to make up a solo over those chord symbols as well. So you would think, you know, that we're looking at this and that it's all just coming out of our head, but there are some interesting things that we're all doing at the same time, which I want you to remember because they apply to something else as well. So the first thing is that we all are actually following a bunch of rules. And these rules are really boring about flat nines and raised sevenths and scales. So we aren't going to talk about those. But We aren't just making up random stuff. There is a set of rules that we all are trusting in. And then we're all trusting in each other, too. Because if Mike starts playing with his left hand what Laura's supposed to be doing, that's not going to work. And if Chris decides he wants to do a swing beat while the rest of us are playing calypso, that's not really quite going to work either. And if I play a solo and Mike's supposed to be playing a solo, you know, it's just going to sound like a big jumble of spaghetti and pancakes all together, which is disgusting, right? So we listen to each other, and we listen to great musicians who have come before us and have made recordings. And then here's the thing that's interesting. You know how adults know what they're doing? Yeah, that's not true. So adults are pretty much improvising basically everything, too. And when adults get together, and when you come together with us, and we're doing something called being the church, it's a lot like getting together and playing jazz with a bunch of musicians. We've got a foundational document that needs to be wisely interpreted, and we all kind of have to agree that we're going to look at it and listen to people who have gone before us and take into account what they're going to say. We need to trust each other. We need to know what the rules are. And even sometimes when we don't understand the rules or don't necessarily agree with them, when we play within those rules, we can do something together that's way neater and more important and more special than what any one of us could do on our own. And then the other thing, the really boring thing, is that, you know, we practice individually, like we do scales and arpeggios and all that. And there's, I suppose, an analogy there, too. But when we improvise together as the church, we can make some really amazing music. And I hope that by listening to jazz today, that gets a little bit illuminated. So we're going to play all those parts together for St. Thomas as you go back to your parents' or to where you're going to sit today. So thanks very much. Here's St. Thomas.
Moses, climb higher up the mountain and wait there for me. I'll give you tablets of stone, the teachings and commandments that I've written to instruct them. So Moses got up, accompanied by Joshua his aide, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. He told the elders of Israel, Wait for us here until we return to you. You have Aaron and Hur with you. If there are any problems, go to them. Then Moses climbed the mountain. The cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God settled over Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called out to the cloud of Moses. In the view of the Israelites below, the glory of God looked like a raging fire at the top of the mountain. Moses entered the middle of the cloud and climbed the mountain. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Amen. And our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came, and he touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The added height is nice, but go back to where I normally am. So on April 3rd, 1968, and the night before his death in Memphis, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressed a packed church. His sermon, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," was about Moses' view of the Promised Land and the judgment of God. How for Moses, God had let him see with his eyes, but did not allow him to cross over. Hearing these prophetic words today, one might easily assume that Dr. King could smell the death in his purview, in language reminiscent of both an encouraging leader and masterful strategist. Dr. King secures in the hearts and minds of listeners the power, the moment, on a mountaintop. Like all of his sermons, Dr. King was speaking out of biblical imagery. But there are no mountaintops around Memphis. His mountaintop was an experience rather than a place. And this place for Dr. King was one where there were visions of justice. From the limited amount we hear about Dr. King in January around Martin Luther King Day, during February for African American History Month, it's still not enough. We only get these little bits and pieces about his leadership in the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. We're familiar with the Montgomery bus boycott and the freedom rides, the lunch counter sit-ins, and the March on Washington. But less familiar are we with his later work, like the context of this speech, a strike by the sanitation workers, garbage workers in Memphis, Tennessee. And this is what Dr. King came to speak about on a very rainy night in April. He came to talk about the hazardous working conditions, unfair pay and benefits, union recognition, This was the motivation for more than 1,000 black sanitation workers to go on strike. I can't even imagine. And the mayor of Memphis remained unmoved, but the churches all throughout Memphis supported the workers with food and clothing drives. They took up collections for strikers to meet rent and mortgages. There were frequent marches, demonstrations rooted in practices of nonviolence, though they didn't always end that way. Not everyone played by the rules that were agreed upon. And this outbreak of violence deeply distressed Dr. King. And so he came to Memphis to march, to speak. And we hear those final words.
The threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen.
He's seen the promised land. He wasn't worried about anything or anyone. He ends that speech with about how his eyes had seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And the next day at 6:01 p.m., King was shot standing on the second floor balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, surrounded by friends. And as he lay dying, he spoke his last word to his friend, musician, Ben Branch, who is to perform at the event King was scheduled to attend that night. And King said to him, "Ben, make sure you play Precious Lord. Take my hand. Play it. Play it real pretty." This hymn, which has already provided strength and consolation for so many even before Dr. King's death, was also played at his funeral. There on top of the mountain, Dr. King saw what many great preachers and prophets saw from that position: visions of a world changed, illuminated by men and women working to bring about God's world, to bring people of color out of long years of poverty and hurt and neglect, a world where God's suffering children who are hungry are fed, a world that what happens to the sanitation workers happens to all of us. And we see these visions of change stirring out in the world around us today. And many of us are wondering, how can we be part of that change? And I find Dr. King's words of his speech to be true today as they were nearly a half century ago. As much as we'd like to join Peter in sitting and waiting for the right time, the right place, the right way to bring about God's vision in the world, Jesus says we can't just sit there. Dr. King calls upon people to determine practices that bring about God's kingdom, that pay fair wages and don't discriminate. He calls upon people to strengthen the institutions, especially the black institutions that at the time were most vulnerable. He proposed concrete ways to bring about change in the world. And he called upon the people, all the people, to walk together, as Jesus and those disciples did, down the mountain. Because we are concerned about our brothers and sisters. Dr. King says, you may not be the ones on strike, but either we go up together or we go down together. Let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. Friends, this is the kind of change that can transfigure us all. Amen. A way to praise God today. Amen. And as we continue our time of worship, we also bring the prayers of joy and the prayers of concern on our hearts. If you have one you'd like to share aloud, raise your hand. An usher will bring a microphone around. Any prayers of joy, prayers of concern today?
Morning, Peter Derry. Just a prayer of joy for our son-in-law's mother, who had some serious surgery on Wednesday, and everything worked out perfectly.
Prayers for her recovery.
Tess McKeel. Prayers for my sister-in-law, who's having some health issues. She'll be going to a neurologist for more testing and hopefully some answers.
Prayers for your sister-in-law. Amen. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer then. The prayer that I'm sharing with you in keeping with today's service comes from a prayer offered by Dr. King in 1953 at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Let us pray. Most gracious and all-wise God, before whose face the generations rise and fall, thou in whom we live and move and have our being, we thank you for all of your good and gracious gifts, for life, for health, for food, for the beauties of nature and human nature. We come before you painfully aware of our inadequacies and shortcomings. We realize that we stand surrounded with the mountains of love, and we deliberately dwell in the valley of hate. We stand amid the forces of truth and deliberately lie. We are forever offered the high road, and yet we choose to travel the low road. For these sins, O God, forgive. Break the spell of that which blinds our minds. Purify our hearts that we may see you. O God, in these turbulent days when fear and doubt are mounting high, give us broad visions, penetrating eyes, and power of endurance. Help us to work with renewed vigor for a warless world, for a better distribution of wealth, for brotherhood that transcends race or color. In the name and spirit of Jesus, we pray. And we pray together, saying the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us offer back to God a portion of the abundance which has been entrusted to us as we receive this morning's offering.
God of awe and glory, receive these gifts as symbols of our trust in you. Bless these givers and those who desire to give. Multiply these offerings and the blessings they represent. Guide the give of them according to your will. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
That God has called us to. Friends, you have the strength of God inside of you, the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit it takes each and every day to keep going. Alleluia. Amen.